Whenever we sing that song, I always go back to the book of Revelation when we see the glorified Christ sitting upon the throne. And there's no quietness about it whatsoever, but all of heaven erupts in praise and glory to the Lamb that was slain. You know, when he went to the cross, he was already God. You realize that? He was already God. He didn't go to the cross to be God. He was already God, the Eternal One. So that gives us even a greater understanding, is that he went to the cross as God. He went to the cross so that you and I might enjoy the glory, the life, and the blessing of being saved, renewed, and glorified with him one day. Isn't that exciting? When we get to the realization that, folks, he didn't go to the cross because he had to. He went to the cross because he loved us. It's devastating, isn't it? It makes our sin, it makes our weakness, it makes us as a human being feel devastated that we put him through that. But you know what? He endured that. More than that, enduring it, he reigned victorious over it. And he lives today. Not just as a religious figure, not just as a founder of some religion, but as the King, the Savior, God of all things, that he brings a salvation to us today. That is the message that we have. Where is your mission field? Last week we were talking about how that Paul, in sharing the word, was partnering with the church of Philippi. And because of their love, because of their support, he was encouraged. He was blessed, but he reminded them that the ministry is going to continue. I didn't demand your support, but yet because you gave your support, I was encouraged. God's work continued to go on. And then to your account, God will bless in great ways. And so, as we were challenged as a church at Lindsay Lane, that we responded in giving to the LifeWord ministry, being just one of the many things that we have included within our budget, as we're able to give and encourage those that are on the mission field. And we talked a little bit about missions in that message as well. Now we kind of go back, if you will, the time frame that the church in Philippi was supporting Paul. He addressed that it was so important that they had given that support. It was such a needful time. Actually goes to where we are in the text now in Acts 16. He's on his way to this area called Macedonia. And then in chapter 17 was the persecution that he was enduring and referred to in our text last week of, I'm thankful for your support during such a difficult time, because the persecution was very heavy. So today we're going to be talking about, have you ever heard the Macedonian call? I think there's two of you that did. Anybody hear of the Macedonian call? Okay, I got a few more that are in there. So this is going to be interesting for all of you then. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, we see that Paul has been actively already on his first missionary journey. And in that, as a result of that, they come back to Antioch, to the church there in Jerusalem, and they say, look, God is witnessing and sent us as a witness to the Gentiles. Now, for all of us, we're thinking, well, yeah, that's great. But when they were to announce that, some of the Jews would go, oh, no, that can't be. God began to expand the vision and the purpose of the gospel. It wasn't for a select few and a handful to stay and hold on to this message. God designed it in such a way, he broke down all barriers, whether nationalities, whether language, or whatever it may be. We see even on the day of Pentecost, all of those boundaries were destroyed so that missions could go forward. And folks, I'm telling you, the church is the seat of that, if you will, the sending station, the training ground, whatever it may be, the Lord's church is the place that should be going out from. And so the excitement of that, also brings us to a heavy responsibility, is where is our mission field? Now, often we just automatically assume that, well, obviously it's just our community. But folks, I'm gonna tell you an interesting thing that as I observe in coming to this area, is that there's some that want to live outside of the community, but yet call this their mission field. Ironic, isn't it? Now, I'm not trying to say if you don't live in this area that you don't belong here. That's not what we're saying, but that our heart needs to be with the people that we're serving. Our hearts need to be within the needs that are around us and within our immediate circles. Is it sometimes easier to think that, well, I could witness if I worked here, but not where I'm at now? Can you relate? Where I'm at right now seems to be the most difficult place to serve the Lord. Would you agree? You're in company, because that's the way it always feels. Sometimes we think that, oh, if I could just go to Africa, oh, they would just love me there and we would do so much more for the Lord. No, the reality is, whatever you're doing here in missions is exactly what you will do over there in missions. And whatever dream that you have, if you won't discipline and support and obey God here, you're not going to do it over there. Amen? But we're not discussing today, and this is something that I've watched people kind of take these things and run with them, that some of the most basic principles of Christianity, such as prayer, worship, Bible study, witnessing, none of those things are debatable. Are you with me? Those are not debatable. If you are a disciple of Christ, He says you will take up your cross and follow Me. And so those things are established, if you will, in the life of a disciple, a true believer. But what we're talking about today is seeking God's guidance in, number one, defining those mission fields, but then number two, giving us the timing, the direction, and the energies where to put them the most efficient way to carry out His purpose in His timing and in His way. We're going to be seeking the presence of God's filling in our ministry. Number two is God's continual guiding in ministry, which is through the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we follow and obey God's will in ministry. Those are going to be the three points that we're talking about this morning. And so we're not talking about that I'm going to the Lord to find out what should I be doing. And here's something else that had come to my mind. When I'm preparing these messages, usually the Lord's already working on me personally. And as I work through this, I'm always thinking, well, what are some of the questions that I would have? And some that I keep running into. That people say, well, Pastor, if you would give me something to do, I'll be there. Folks, we're not looking to create an excuse for you to serve the Lord. Can I be fair in saying that and being that blunt? I can remember my mom one time. My mom said that she wanted me to do something because I loved her. Well, it was something I really didn't want to do. In fact, I had all kinds of excuses of why I shouldn't have to do it. And you know what? I didn't realize that as a young person, I broke my mom's heart. I really did. Because this was very important to her, but more than that, she was at a point in time that she was trying to teach me a principle that when you grow up and you mature, if you really love someone, then you do things without having to be told or reminded. That's maturity, right? Doing what's right without someone telling you, you have to do it. And when we grow in loving the Lord, that love relationship has to start with a surrender of repentance of sin and a confession of sin and calling upon the Lord Jesus to save our soul. And so when we become a child of God, we now begin a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so folks, we're not talking about the very basic building blocks. But what we're talking about is that God calls those that are already in love, involved, and busy about the ministry and the work of the kingdom. So I'm not trying to give you some tools to find a way to twist your arm, to twist a thumb, to get you to come and serve. Folks, I'm telling you, that has to be a heart matter. I can't change the heart. I can't change the attitude. If you don't sit at home and have a longing to be with God's people, that's a heart problem, not a ministry pastor problem. When God changes our heart, He tells us in 1 John, He causes us to fall in love not only with the Father, but with His children. But you know what also He does as well? Is that He causes us to fall in love with the Lord's church and fall in love with what God is doing. So today we're talking about God's guiding, His defining, and His directing. First of all, let's read our text. Probably wondering if I was ever going to get to that, weren't you? Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we ask for the blessing and the reading of your word. We ask that your Spirit will guide us into understanding. Lord, stir within our hearts a renewal of a love of the gospel message, a love that it has changed our hearts, it has changed our lives, and that we might share the same living word with those that are around us. Lord, give us a love and a desire to serve our community. But more than that, Lord, help us to grow in efficiency, in wisdom, that we'll follow your timing and your purpose in all that we do, that you are the very center and you are at the head leading in all things. Lord, we give you praise. We give you the seat and control over all things because you are Lord and you are the head of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look into the realities is that Paul has been traveling. He's come back to Antioch, giving the reports, and now he goes, let's go. Barnabas, let's go back to the churches and revisit. It's probably been about 4 or 5 years, I think it was. And he said, well, I want to go back and check on them. Well, it ends up, Paul and Barnabas kind of get into a scuffle. Now, I don't think they come to blows, but they come into a very heated disagreement over one guy, John Mark. Mark had left them in the middle of the first missionary journey. Now, I'm telling you what, I know Paul was a strong personality. And he's like, nope, he's not going with us on the second one. Barnabas said, yes, he is going. And they come at a disagreement and finally decided it's better that we maybe go in our separate directions. Now, here's something interesting is that we watch two men have a disagreement. They come together, they discussed it, and rather or not they agreed to disagree on what their thoughts were, but yet they continued to continue in what God's will and purpose was for their life. Amen? Good lesson for all of us to learn. Sometimes there are places of disagreement, but guess what? God is going to lead in a specific decision, in a specific direction, and it's for us as a church to determine what that is and not so much trying to serve personalities as opposed to allowing God to simply have His way. So when we look at this situation, we see that finally Paul takes Silas, he ends up finding Timothy, and with all of that process, he was pulling this together that now they're beginning their second missionary journey. So Paul is excited about wanting the filling of God's presence in his calling. So when we look at this in Acts chapter 15, verse 36, we see that he was there in Antioch and he wants to go back. And that kind of gives the background of what I just told you. So now Paul and Silas, they're getting ready to go into Asia was Paul's desire. Isn't it great to have dreams in ministry? There's something that's always been a challenge to me. I'm kind of a practical pessimist. I don't even know if that's really a definition of something, but that's kind of where I'm at most of the time. I want to be so grounded that my wife can attest to this. Even something that should be exciting, I'm still wringing my hands. Or, okay, is this the right one? Is this the right way? Did we uncover every stone? Did we answer every question? Are there any other options? Have we covered this? Have we covered this? And man, I'm telling you what, I may not be the smartest or the sharpest tool in the shed, but when I look at something, I'll exhaust everybody and every question, and I'll know it's covered. Okay, there you go. See, I told you. I told you, she's an authority. That amen was with authority. She knew. When we look at those things, now here's something that's interesting, is that so many times in leadership, they say, oh, we need to dream. We need to dream what God can do. You know what? It's kind of like asking a pet rabbit, what do you want to be? We might think that, oh, well, he represents this or that, or he can do this or that. But you know what? He's not going to know. And so our intelligence level and our ability to know what's going on, to tell God what we need to do, to me just doesn't fit Scripture. So does that mean that we just stay and we never desire to achieve and reach our community? That's not what I'm saying. But yet what we do is that we have a desire and we say, Lord, what do you think? Why not build it? Why not work on it? Why not come together as a church and say, Lord, what are some areas that we might be able to work in? We see needs here. We see needs here. We got people that are able to do this and this. Should we pull together and jump on this? Or do you want us to come over here? But then what I'm finding as a church, we get so much going that it's like we come back to Sunday and everybody's exhausted. And then I'm like, Lord, are we still focused on the right thing? And then I come to realize is that as Paul, he had his dream, he had his desire. I want to go back into Asia because probably in his first missionary journey, he's seen so many areas and so many people that I want to go back. There's too many needs and not enough time. I want to go back and address those things. But yet he's seeking God's presence and where he's going and what he's doing. Do you understand the difference that I'm trying to drive at? So it's important to see that not just a calling of someone to get motivated, but a calling of those that are already motivated to finally tune the ministry that they're working in. And you know what? This is never going to be my intention of saying that, well, the ministries of Lindsay Lane are not effective, because they are. Amen? I'm telling you, you just come and see the Awana programs and soccer and all of these things that are going on, how effective they are. But Lord, we want to use your fullest wisdom in all that we're doing. And so sometimes being able to step back and reevaluate is such a valuable thing, and something that I think that we should do on a regular basis, on a yearly basis, is to reevaluate. Is this where we want to continue? Is this where God is continuing to work and pour in his blessing? Well, Paul begins to move in that direction of what he felt that it would be God's calling and purpose. You know, I use the example that we thought that we were going to have a Missouri missionary, Dustin Wisely. And you know, even as pastors, we would come together and say, you know, we prayed about this. Did we miss something? Well, I can guarantee you as people, we always miss something. But God does not. And so all that we can do, the bottom line is, all we can do is come together collectively to be sure, is this what God's wanting? Then let's go. But I'm telling you, it takes a lot of strength and patience to accomplish. Number two, God's continual guidance in ministry. Now, in 6 and 7, we find out Paul's going to an area that needs to be evangelized, an area that needs to hear about Christ, an area that he's already somewhat familiar with, and you would think, oh, he could go in pinpoint precision. He knows right where to go. And with all of our human thinking, This all fits. Would you agree? Paul's already been there. Could we have found a better missionary? With our human thinking, it all fits. But guess what? It was not God's timing. And so then we stop and think that, well, my goodness, Lord, I'm willing. I'm ready to go. What's the problem? Do you ever feel that way? Okay, I'm the only one. I'll admit it. Sometimes we pour so much time and think that, oh, I've covered all this. I've examined everything. And, oh, well, it's got to be right. But yet each time Paul would go, what happened? Closed door. Now, here's some challenging things. How was that door closed? How did Paul know? We don't know. The word doesn't tell us, but what it does tell us is that Paul understood the leadership of the Holy Spirit and he closed the opportunity. It wasn't going to work. And so the Spirit was guiding Paul by shutting him down or not allowing him to move forward with the thoughts and the plans that he had originally had in mind. And so, how is it that God opens and closes doors today? I want you to know, I am not of the belief that we follow the Lord by feeling and emotion. We follow Him by God's Word, but God's Word doesn't speak to specifically, He speaks to in principle. And so every situation, every condition, we can eventually find either specifically addressed in God's Word or spoken to in how that we would deal with it in principle, biblical principle. Are you with me? And so sometimes it's by the reading of the Word that He gives us that direction or gives us the stop, the no. There's peace and unrest in our spirit. And again, we're not talking about emotion. If you're a child of God, you know and are familiar with the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your life. You know when you're entering into sin and He's saying, no. You know what happens that when you know that someone needs attention or needs a phone call or needs prayer, the Spirit moves on your heart. That's not emotion, that's the Spirit's leading. Amen? As a church, we don't go by the strongest personality. We don't go by the loudest wheel that needs the oil or whatever it may be. We go by what is God guiding us in. So by the reading of His Word, the peace or unrest in our spirit, consistent prayer, wise counsel of mature believers, and God simply making the way possible or simply making it impossible. One thing that I think that we are failing in is that we're not consulting with our elders. Folks, there's so many things that go on, problems and difficulties. We think, I just got to handle this on my own. We're hiding and cowering and embarrassment. And all the time, we don't even realize that we have experts of life around us. Those who have been through some of the most difficult times and have endured faithfully, maybe even what you're going through now. And we don't ask. Much the same way that James is saying. You have not because you ask not. Folks, why is it that we're so prone to pull into ourselves and act like we're alone when we're in perfect company? God hasn't called us or uses us because we're perfect. He calls us because we have been called. We have been selected by Him to be used of Him. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 through 15. As we're talking about the leadership of the Spirit, he goes in a little bit more detail, actually addressing the church there in Corinth. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are a folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. I want you to think about this. I use the ESV because I like the way that it words in there and gives us how that the spiritual things are revealed to him or those who are spiritual. The interpretation, the understanding is given to those who are seeking the Lord, following the Lord. He begins to open doors. The Spirit begins to open doors that will give us an understanding of God's will and God's purpose. And again, we're not stepping outside of God's will, but the Spirit is dragging us into God's Word, into God's will. Because you understand that God's will not contradict His Word. His Word will not contradict His actions. Are you with me? And so oftentimes that why do we deliberate of why churches do this and why do that? Why do we constantly, okay, we can do this, but we can't do that? Because we are aligning ourselves with God's Word, which is the ultimate purpose, aligning our lives and our practices and our faith with God's will. Because they are one and the same. So when we begin to say, well, I think it's God's will that we all go out here and go down to the bar and have a few. I've got some God's Word and verses to share with you that's not God's will. Now, I'm using that as an extreme. I'm using examples such as that there are things that we try to tout or lay claim that God has said this when God never said that. And such is the purpose of our diligent Bible study, not to say that we know more than everyone else, but to say and admit, I know very little except the Spirit of God reveals all of this to me. But we're putting ourselves into a place and a position that, God, I want to be in line with who you are. I want to be in line with what you're doing. So, Lord, put me there. And by the study and the obeying of God's Word, it puts us there. So Paul is headed to Asia. He's got a heart for the people in Asia. He wants to reach the world for Christ. So you've got a man that's on fire. He's ready, wanting to serve. And yet God says, no. What is wrong? God eventually reaches Asia, but he does so later. But what's happening is if you look at a map, Asia is not the Asia that we know today. It's modern day Turkey. He goes through Turkey. He tries to go north. Nope, can't do that. Tries to go this way. Nope, can't do that. So the only thing he can do is go west. And he ends up in Troas, and then he has to travel by boat to get into the area called Macedonia. And that's the understanding that we track back. That's how the European nations received the gospel of Christ, was by one call of a Macedonian man that was burdened, wanted to know the Lord, and prayed, and God miraculously give a vision to Paul as he was sleeping in Troas. Lord, you've cut me off here. You cut me off here. What do you want me to do? And he reveals to Paul, the very man that has a desire, Paul, won't you come over and help us? Isn't that amazing? Now, if he'd have just kind of bulled up and said, I'm staying right here. I'm going to stay here in Asia anyway. Could he have done a good work? Maybe. Maybe Paul was talented enough to do a decent work. But God wasn't trying to reach a few. He wanted Paul to reach another continent for him. And so do you see the scope of what's going on? But here's something else that's more exciting, is that as we watch it, Paul's plans, yes, they were important, but it was by God's bidding that he was able to reach another continent and evangelize another continent. And folks, we as Gentiles today, we have benefited from the faithfulness of those who come sharing the gospel message. The wisdom of God is so great. The planning of God is so infinite beyond our understanding. And so why would we not submit to His plan and, more than that, His timing? Aren't you glad that Paul didn't get frustrated and give up? As we trust God's leadership, a child of God should never fear closed doors. You know, there's some times that I had wanted and desired to do something so bad. I'm like, well, Lord, I'm just going to bust through this door. I want to do that so bad. And praise the Lord, he just shut me down. And then afterwards, I begin to see the wisdom in his choice. But not until after I follow his plan. Amen? Closed doors for a believer today is sometimes to protect his children. It may be for your protection that he doesn't allow you to go. Sometimes he closes a door so that he might open a greater opportunity, as we've seen for Paul, that he would go into another continent that had not been evangelized. God knows the most efficient and effective way for us to use our time and our energies for the sake of the kingdom. So he's going to guide us to that place. God knows the right timing for everyone involved, not just you, but to those who are in need to hear. Paul refused to give up, and he continued to seek God's will and direction, and he received it. So our third point, we see that he received the call. Now here's something that's interesting. I had not noticed this before, is that notice in verse 10, we see it says, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now you notice that the reference changes. About verse 10, he uses that we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach. Before this, Luke didn't include himself in the text until now. What happened? Somewhere in Troas and his traveling, getting ready to go into Macedonia, he caught up with Luke. Well, what's the significance of that? Luke wrote the largest account in the New Testament that we have today. One of the greatest historians, even recognized by historians of today, even in secular circles. We have Luke, the doctor that Paul would need later in ministry, and Luke would minister to Paul for the rest of his days. Do you see the amazement of God's understanding and purpose in all of these things? But yet, look at what they did. They came together as four men, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and now Luke joins them. And they gather in prayer and they say, we've concluded, we've prayerfully considered, we've consulted with one another, we consulted with God's word, and he's sending us, now we know he's sending us to preach the gospel in Macedonia. And you know what they do? Immediately they go. I want to ask you, have you experienced the excitement and the joy that comes with knowing your purpose and knowing your mission field? Do you have a Macedonian call on your life today? Is there someone that you know that only you could reach? Maybe someone that you're able to address that no one else can. Maybe it's friendships that have been developing for years, and yet you are the only one that can say what needs to be said. Is there areas of expertise or abilities that you have that is affording you opportunities that no one else may have? Is there a Macedonian call in your life today? Maybe you're sitting here thinking that God's been pressing your heart with sharing the gospel, and you've just kind of been putting it off, waiting. Maybe God's calling you to missions. Maybe God's calling you to be a pastor. Maybe he's just calling you to be a preacher. While not all of us can be pastors and preachers, we all do and have a call upon our lives to share the gospel. They immediately sought to go into Macedonia. And you know, I'd like to say that it was all roses when they got there. It wasn't. But yet, one of the first converts that we see in the following verses was Lydia. Lydia was a wealthy woman, and Lydia wanted the opportunity to be a home base for Paul and Silas. And she ministered to him for a great deal of time. Folks, I want to ask you, are we faithfully and persistently seeking God's will and direction? Somebody thinking, oh yeah, I'm just kind of waiting. Folks, we don't find his direction by waiting. We find his direction by going. Amen? That's the whole purpose of the Great Commission. Go. Go ye therefore, as King James says. But if you look at the literal translation, it says, as you are going. You understand the difference? I'm not waiting to be sent. You've already been sent. So now, Lord, where is the location? I'm going to go. I'm going to be faithful in all areas as you guide me. Church, are we going? Are we willing to wait on his timing? even if it doesn't quite fit our own. Oh, you'll find that, folks, over and over. But I'm telling you, the reward is well beyond what you think you've lost. Would you stand with me? If you would, just bow your heads for a minute. I want you to hear these questions, and you answer these between you and the Lord. What great areas of your life could benefit from faithfulness? What areas of life is it that you're seeing that God's been calling and maybe even pointed out to you? There is a need right here. I need you to fill this need, but you've just kind of been waiting, passively waiting. How could the church benefit if you would answer that call? How would your community benefit if you answered that call? I want to ask you, how many families are changed by the faithfulness of one mom or one dad who finally decides that no matter what it takes, Lord, I'm going to be your missionary in my home, my mission field? How many lives would be spared? How many homes would be repaired if we would just simply take our home as a mission field? Lindsay Lane, how can our community be blessed by our faithfulness to God's plan? How can they benefit as we continue to tirelessly seek God's direction in all that we do? I want you to leave your head bowed, and I just want you to deal with whatever the Lord's laying on your heart today. Maybe there's an answer. Maybe there's a solution yet to be seen. But I want you to just spend time with the Lord.